As we live our lives as Christians, we know that God wants us to be prepared at any moment in case we die or the Lord comes first. Whichever of those comes first, God wants us to be prepared. And the key to being prepared is having what you need. So tonight, we are going to show from the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is what you need. It's what we all need. And that we should live our lives to reflect that. And to do this tonight, we'll start our journey in the first chapter of Colossians. The book of Colossians is a fitting place to start because I believe that that is the main idea of the letter, is that Christ is all you need. You don't need philosophies of men. You don't need academics. You don't need anything in this world but Jesus Christ. And as we see in this first section, primarily chapter 1 and a lot of chapter 2, we're going to see that fact. The preeminence of Christ, the fact that Christ is the top rank, He's most important in everything, and that all blessings are in Him. In Colossians, starting in chapter 1, verse 3, through verse 12, we have here two prayers of Paul. The first is a prayer of thanksgiving. He's thankful for their faith in Christ. He's thankful for their love for all the Christians. And it brings him precious memories to think of them hearing the gospel, not from him, but from Epaphras. But he's thankful for that. And then in verse 9 through 12, he's giving thanks to God for the growth. It's a prayer for their growth. Verse 9, they ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God. He's praying for their growth. And as we look down in verse 12, in this prayer he says, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us. He's made it possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And as I think of that inheritance we have as Christians, it is a marvelous thing. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, God is explaining to us our inheritance. If there is an inheritance, there are heirs, and we are heirs to God's inheritance. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, God lays out for us that inheritance. In verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. That's our inheritance. And what I want all of us to see from this passage is that our inheritance is in Christ. So first, look in verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love, having foreordained us into adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So that's our first blessing. He chose us before the foundation of the world. If you cut out the part that says about being holy and without blame, grammatically the verse would read, even as He chose us, having foreordained us. So that's the nature of God choosing us. He foreordained us. He knew before time began that He wanted us. He wanted to choose us, Christians, to be a special treasure. And in verse 5, through who? Through Jesus. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. He made us accepted. In who? In the Beloved. In Christ. In whom, in the Beloved, we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, another blessing. We have the forgiveness of our sins. Once we become Christians, and if we falter and we fall short, it can be made okay. We don't have to stay in that lost condition. In whose blood? In Jesus' blood, we have forgiveness. Look in verse 9. God made known to us the mystery of His will. Sometimes I don't think of that as I should. God making known to us the mystery of His will. If you think about it, God, so high in the heavens, above us in wisdom, in holiness, and the fact that what a wonderful mind. We can't comprehend, we can't fathom His mind, but He gave it to us. But we might share in that. Making known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, He wanted to. It made Him happy to do this for us. Which He purposed in Him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in Him. All things, all history from the creation of the world, through the law of Moses, through the life of our Lord here on earth, us right now, all things are summed up in Christ. Another blessing, another part of our inheritance, He mentions it, in whom we have made a heritage, our inheritance, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Again, I say, what an inheritance we have as Christians in Christ. If all blessings are in Christ, then what blessings are there left that we want? If all blessings are in Christ, what could we want outside of Christ? Christ is all you need. Now if you flip over back to Colossians chapter 1 and look in verse 12 again. In verse 12, notice who He's giving thanks to. He's giving thanks to the Father who has made it possible for us to have this inheritance that's in Christ. Verse 13, who the Father delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us. He has conveyed us. He's moved us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We see here a stasis in this verse. Paul is switching tracks. He's switching from talking to the Father, now talking to the Son, who he loved. The rest of this passage going down is talking about the Son. In whom, in the Son, we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Just like in Ephesians 1, verse 7. We have the forgiveness of our sins in Christ. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. I tell you what a Lord we serve. We have redemption through His blood. He's the image of the invisible God. The word image there means a representation, a manifestation. When you manifest something, it just means to show it. If you see a statue of someone, that's the image of that person. Christ is the image of God, the Father. And as I study the Bible, more and more I see it's true that the best commentary that there is on the Bible is another Bible verse on that subject. So turn over, if you would, to John chapter 14. We have here a verse that explains Colossians 1, verse 15, about Christ, the image of the Father. Jesus here is talking to His chosen apostles, and He's telling them, I go to prepare a place for you. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Show us the way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Later on, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Now pay attention to verse 9. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Verse 15, the firstborn over all creation. He's not firstborn as in he was the first created being there was. That's not what this verse is saying. The firstborn has the position. The firstborn has the honor. The firstborn has all the rights. In Jesus, of all the firstborns, he is the firstborn over all creation. He has all the honor, all of the preeminence. And this passage goes on to explain about this fact. He says, Why is he the firstborn? For in him were all things created, in the heavens and on the earth, visible things and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Why is he the firstborn? Why does he hold the honor? It's because he created all things. Remember John 1, verse 3? In John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. John 1, verse 3, without him was not anything made that was made. He created all things. Nothing here on this earth is here without Christ. All things are created through him and unto him. They're created for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, not in time, but in honor, in position. And all things consist in him. He holds all things together. He sustains things. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. As we are Christians in his body, he is our head, he is our leader, he is our captain. We follow Christ. He is the beginning. Again, all things were created through him. Here's the beginning. In the beginning, Jesus was. He is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Not the first to be raised from the dead. First to be raised from the dead in the way that he was. To never die again. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence means the first rank. The top rank. Jesus in all things, he holds rank. He's above everything else. In verse 20 through 23, he goes on to explain that without Jesus, we wouldn't have our salvation. He made us friends with God again while we were enemies with God. Jesus came in and he made us friends again with God. He reconciled us to God. And the rest of the chapter, 24 through the rest, he explains his stewardship that God's given to him. Like our brother Smith spoke this morning, the stewardship of God. Paul is explaining about that stewardship in this passage. But for right now, if we'll skip that, we look down in chapter 2. If you look in verse 2, Paul's prayer for those who have never seen him before, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ, again, what is left outside of Christ that we need? Christ is all you need. Look at verse 9. For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is an amazing verse. Everything that it means to be God, Jesus has it. Everything. All the knowledge, all the power, omnipresence, everything it means to be God, Jesus has. And now we come to what I believe is you could pick a key verse in the whole book of Colossians, this would be a good one. And in Him ye are made full or complete, who is the head of all principality and power. Everything that we are and that we aspire to be is summed up and made complete in Christ. God's eternal purpose for man is brought to fruition in Christ, our beginning and our end. Our preparation under the law of Moses for the Jews of the first century, he was. Our salvation in Jesus, our model to imitate, and our way to enjoy full fellowship with God. God's work in progress on man is completed in Christ. Jesus is our everything. If these are true, brethren, then what could we possibly want outside of Christ? Verse 11 speaks of the circumcision of Christ. In short words, Christ has made it possible for us to have a covenant with God. Verse 12, having been buried with Christ in baptism, we are risen with Him through faith. That's how we're risen with Christ. We're risen through faith. That's how it works. God makes it work through faith. And you, being dead in your trespasses, the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 15, on the cross, if you look down at verse 15, it says, having despoiled the principalities and the powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. On the cross, Jesus triumphed over Satan, over sin, and over death. Therefore, in verse 16, don't let anyone judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ. This is a marvelous verse, too, as so many of these are. The fact that, you know, you can see my shadow up here. I wiggle my hand, my shadow moves. That's the shadow of my hand. The shadow's not my hand, this is my hand. The law is the shadow of Christ. It wasn't Christ. It wasn't the finished product. Christ is the finished product that God wants us to have. All the law, all the prophets are summed up in Christ. Now, brethren, I'm telling you these things so that no one would persuade you otherwise. Beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the basic principles of the world, and not after Christ. Do not let anyone rob you of your prize in Christ. That's the message of chapter 2. Look at all the blessings we have in Christ. Don't let anyone take that from you. You think, well, how would someone take that from you? Satan is working all his energy and work is on bringing you down. That's his purpose, is to win another soul for himself. He knows our weaknesses sometimes better than we do if we're in denial. And he knows that. He exploits them. We might be spoiled through unbelief, false doctrine, distractions, any sin that we're enslaved to spoils us of what we have in Christ. Any distraction that's not wrong in and of itself, friends, job, career, money, fame, these things can spoil us of Christ. But the important thing to remember is that no one can spoil you of what you have. The only way they can do that is if you let them. No one can take what we have in Christ if we don't let them. Remember, because we were buried with Christ in baptism and we were risen with Him through faith. If then you are raised with Christ in chapter 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for He died. And your life is hid with Christ in God when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested. then shall you also appear with Him in glory. This is an introduction to this final section of Colossians. He's saying, look at all the blessings in Christ. He's all you need. So live like it. Chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4 and verse 6 is saying, live your life like you have Christ, since He is all you need. And in chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, in living our new life in Christ, it's about changes. Look in verse 5. He says, put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You're a Christian now. Christ is preeminent in your life. So live like it. You have changes to make now. In verse 5, when he says, put to death, that's a parallel thought. In verse 8, when he says, put off all these things, put them to death, put them off. The idea is, get rid of them. No more. That's not a part of your life in Christ anymore. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge, after the image of Him who created him. We're in work in progress. We're to put off all these things, we're to put them to death, no more of them. We're being renewed unto what? Unto knowledge and the model, the Lord Himself. Verse 11, look at the very end of verse 11, chapter 3 and verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. If you look at the end of Philippians chapter 3, we won't turn there, but Christ is in the process of subduing all things into Himself. And yes, death awaits the final triumph of Christ in the judgment day, but that victory is already won. It's over. Death will be gone. In a way, the final frontier of Christ subduing all things to Himself is ourselves. If we choose to not let Christ have preeminence in our lives, then He has no part in our lives. But remember, in the judgment day, all knees shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do it in this life when you have the chance, before it's too late, before you are made to bow in judgment. You have changes to make. You're to put off all these things. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as God's chosen, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Think about it. How did Christ forgive us? We were dead in our trespasses, the uncircumcision of our flesh. We were enemies with God in our minds. He forgave us freely. So next time when you are bearing with your brother or sister in Christ and need arises to forgive them, remember how Christ forgave you, and it will make it easier. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, you're not going to bear with your brother in a disagreement if you don't love him. You're not going to forgive each other if you don't love one another. That's what this means by love is the bond of perfection. It holds all these things up that you're to put on. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He's to rule in our hearts. He's the predominant influence in our lives now. Remember, we're risen with Christ. He's all we need. And if you're risen with Him in baptism, you've taken that. So now you've got changes to make. Let the word of who? Of Christ. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And as if to sum all things up, he says, verse 17, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Christ is all you need. And if we're to live like it, He has to have the preeminence in our life. And if you look through the rest of chapter 3 and through chapter 4 and verse 6, we see that Christ has had to have the preeminence, the predominance in our lives in all aspects of life. For wives, for husbands, children, fathers, slaves, masters. In your prayer, the way you pray is different now. Your example that is seen by those who aren't Christians. Christ is to rule in all aspects of your life. He touches all things. He influences all things. So as we've seen tonight, all blessings, everything we need as a human being, as a physical being, as a spiritual being, is summed up in Christ. Do not let anyone take that from you. Live your life with Christ first. Now there's one verse I left out up to this point. And I think it's one of the most significant verses in all of the Bible. And that's Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of all the things we need, of all the things we aspire to, is to share our glory with the Father. And in Christ, we have that. This is not some mysterious indwelling of Christ in us. We hear the Word of God. We hear the good news of our Savior. We believe it. And as we enter of our covenant with God, He begins His work on us, transforming us into the image of His Son. And if we're in the image of His Son, we start to live like Him. We start to think like Him. We interact with other people like Him. Christ in you. And the result, our glory. And this is such a wonderful verse. It's so comforting too, because in the good times of your life, it keeps you singing. And in the bad times, it holds you up. Christ is all you need. The judgment day is coming. It's sure. And the victory that Christ has won has already been won. The only thing that's left is to offer your life unto God willingly. Believe that He is the Son of God. Believe that He came to die for your sins, for my sins. Repent of your past sins. Put off the old man. Be buried with Him in baptism. Be risen with Him to walk in newness of life, to put on the new man. Christ in you, it's your hope of glory. If you're not a Christian tonight, right now you don't have what you need yet. You're not prepared because you don't have what you need. Christ is all we need. Once you do that tonight, make Christ your all in all. If you wish to do so tonight, come to the front row while we stand and sing.